May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So my first year of seminary, my classmates and I decided that we wanted to celebrate Maundy Thursday, the Thursday in Holy Week, where we remember the Last Supper, in our own creative way. We settled on cooking a huge meal, a giant vat of chili, and bringing it out into the streets of our city to feed whoever we encountered, especially the unhoused folks who lived on the streets. What better way, we thought, to honor the Last Supper than sharing our agape feast with our neighbors? And we really did go out in the spring night air with a literal bucket, like one of those white plastic buckets with a handle and a ladle and some plastic clamshell packaging we got from a local shop. And we wandered our way down the hill, stopping and serving who we met. And we found ourselves in People's Park in downtown Berkeley. And we're making our way between groups of gathered folks who were just settling down for the night. By the time we made it all the way to the other side of the park, however, we were amazed to discover that some of our chili had beaten us there. Some of the people had taken their meal, thanked us, split it, and shared it with friends who they knew needed it more. When they came into an unexpected blessing, their first instinct was to share. When you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence. Now, from a financial planning perspective, the man in Jesus' parable is prudent and wise with his unexpected surplus of crops. He invests more capital to store it for the future. He enables good times today to mean good times for many years to come. Yet God calls him a fool. The man's foolishness is not in what he does and says so much as in what he does not do. It's not about poor timing. It's that he does not consider that the abundance of his fields springs from the hard work of others, the planters and the gatherers, those in his employment, and the blessings of God. He forgets to think of who might be in need of the extra grain. In fact, there's no mention or consideration of anyone else in his thoughts or actions at all, only himself, as if he is the only person in the world. Upon his untimely death, God asks, "And those things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Who? This man has not invested in any relationships, only in himself. What does a good life mean to you? So much of our culture and society would urge us to believe that living a good life is relaxing, eating, drinking, and being merry, especially if those comforts spring from hard work and wise planning. Jesus calls us to more. Your life, Jesus warns, does not consist of abundance of possessions. A good life is a life that is rich toward God. A good life is defined by connection, meaning, and service. It begins from gratitude and the recognition that the blessings of this life are not solely ours. This parable asks us to consider, what is our response to abundance and unexpected blessing? Is it to build bigger barns and higher fences? Is it to protect ourselves and our future first? Or is it to reach out and share our blessings with others? Do we use the life and gifts we have for connection, meaning, and service? When you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence. For what does relaxing, eating, drinking, and being merry mean if it is not shared? God would have us do these things around a long table with chairs enough for all to be invited. Cyrus Kano, my husband's grandfather and my son's middle namesake, epitomized this way of living, building longer tables, not higher fences. He was constantly finding ways to give out of his abundance, not just his possessions or wealth. He used his extraordinary car repair skills to help stranded motorists, replacing spark plugs right there in the side of the road in the rain. He lent out his carpentry skills wherever possible, in the homes of families and friends, volunteering for Habitat for Humanity for decades. To the consternation of his children, Grandpa Cy was up on ladders, fixing what needed to be fixed well into his 80s. On top of all this, Cyrus literally built a longer table. It's quite a magical table, actually. It has 5 handmade leaves that expand a small square table for 4 out into a stretch of hardwood long enough to seat 14, 16 if you really like each other. This table served my mother-in-law and her siblings throughout their childhood, and it was passed on to Aaron and me at the beginning of our marriage. It's been a key part of hosting joyful and packed Thanksgivings and Passovers, family dinners, and friend reunions at our apartments throughout our marriage. And over the years, it's become a symbol, a reminder of the Kano commitment to share of the blessings we receive. Our inheritance is more than an object. It is a value. It is the perpetual and everlasting love of a kind man and the good life he inspires us to live. Today's parable is told in response to the demand that Jesus arbitrate an inheritance dispute between 2 disgruntled brothers. So we can hear in this parable, too, the question of what a good life leaves behind in its wake. A good life lived for connection, meaning, and service aims to leave behind strong communities, loving relationships, a legacy built of more than wealth and possessions. That's why I'm grateful. It sounds odd, but it's why I'm grateful for how many funerals this job requires me to attend. Because every memorial service, every eulogy I hear, serves as a poignant reminder that in the end, the people that matter most will remember us best for how we loved, the relationships we built, and the blessings we shared. The fact that we sit here today in this building, gathered around this table, is due to the interwoven legacies of generations of believers who came before us, folks who invested in relationship, in community, folks who shared the blessings they had, so that we too might strive for lives defined by connection, meaning, and service. So may we never forget that this table is just a small section of the longest table in the world. Amen.